The animal sacrifice in times past could never take away sin. There was but one sacrifice that could truly atone, the sacrifice of Jesus, the Son of God. Grace is another of those words which has such a wide application that we tend to lose its meaning. If a person has beauty or charm in manner or movement, we say that person is graceful. If a person is tender-hearted and inclined to grant favors with little persuasion, we say he is full of grace. If a period of time is granted beyond the date set for the performance of an act or the payment of an obligation, we call it a grace period. So the usages of the term go. Now there is a far greater and more perfect expression of grace. It is the attitude and action of God toward men. All the dealings of the sinless God with sinful man are dealings of grace. That the grace of God is the subject of our study. So we have seen that the grace of God is great in its revelation. Now let us investigate the grace of God as redeeming in its power. Consider first the origin of redeeming grace. The grace that redeems is the grace of God. For man's acts of graciousness toward man can never effect redemption. That's the clear affirmation of God's written word. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So he who speaks of redeeming grace must of necessity speak of the grace of God. Paul wrote, "Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace it is no more works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work." We must speak the words penned by Julia Johnston, "Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin." Consider, second, the need of redeeming grace. Oh, how desperately man needed God's redeeming grace, for all mankind was dead in sins before the grace of God appeared. And it came as the grace of God that bringeth salvation, because man was in such desperate need of salvation. The Apostle Paul expressed it in this way, "By the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. So by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." From condemnation to justification, that is the redeeming grace of our God. Romans 5:12 states the universal human need of the redeeming divine grace. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now the words, "death passed upon all men," set forth the universal and desperate need of mankind for the redeeming grace of God. Consider third, the method of redeeming grace. How would God go about showing grace to the guilty without violating His laws of justice? Well, he must do it in such a way as to be just while he justified the ungodly. Well, God chose to use the method of vicarious substitutionary atonement. In that system, the innocent could bear the punishment due to the guilty, with the result that the guilty could go free. Man was first taught the principle of vicarious suffering through the sacrifice of animals. An innocent lamb was sacrificed at the altar in the place of a guilty person. God expressed the principle this way, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." Now that system was practiced for generations until there was written indelibly upon the hearts of men that without shedding of blood is no remission. When men had learned that principle, God was ready for the real sacrifice. The animal sacrifice in times past could never take away sin. There was but one sacrifice that could truly atone, the sacrifice of Jesus, the Son of God. So God set him forth unto death that he might be a propitiation through faith in his blood, and thus redemption came through Christ Jesus. Consider the effectiveness of God's plan. "By him all that believe are justified from all things." So consider fourth, the cost of redeeming grace. Now, we announce that salvation is free, but we do not declare that it is cheap. On the contrary, there was a great price paid for the salvation of sinners. The price was the life of the Son of God. The Bible makes repeated statements of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for sinners and the redemption that is provided through His blood. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper with these words spoken over the cup, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Paul made reference to the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Assurance is given that being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. The writer of the epistle to the Hebrews wrote of how the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, shall purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Peter seems to have summarized it best when he wrote, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Now salvation is free to man only because its cost has been paid of God. Jesus died that you might live eternally. Consider fifth, the accomplishment of redeeming grace. The Bible uses the term saved and salvation to describe the accomplishment of God's grace. To be saved means to be made safe, and salvation is the condition or state of one who has been made safe. But safe from what? Well, to be saved means to be free from the spiritual death already present on and in the sinner, from the danger of coming judgment, and from the suffering of eternal hell. God's grace saves the repenting, trusting sinner from all those dangers. Observe some of the references in Holy Scripture. "Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Now that is the Bible doctrine, very briefly stated, of the redeeming grace of our God. Those truths stirs our hearts to sing with the words of Julia Johnson, "Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Sin and despair, like the sea waves cold, threaten the soul with infinite loss. But grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide, for what can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you can be today. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sins."